coming up next in this episode.
You're in a glass house. You're in a bubble. I just think that's a struggle place to live. There's times and places to fall back in the bubble, find your solid ground, and then expand out from there. That's, I think, part of the phases of healing. But yeah, I think both of our goals is like, if it's Christmas time and like everyone's around the table and there's some gluten sugar cookies there and everyone's talking about them, and for you to eat that cookie and be in that energetic love vibe is actually probably better for your nervous system than the little bit of gluten and sugar that you're going to get from that one cookie. And that's the part that like flipped my brain and like just totally scrambles it in a blender. And I think it's still flipping and blenderizing a lot of people's brains, that the emotionality and the love and the frequency around a food and around a situation can completely change how our physical body reacts to it.
Welcome to the Flow podcast. I'm your host, Kelly Kennedy, and I'm just going to set the attention and focus today as you are brought into the mind and the heart of my dear colleague and friend, Stephen Wright, who has created healthy gut formulas that are above and beyond many of the product lines that are out there on the market. I would dare say, if not one of the best. And as how we do one thing is how we do all things, Stephen is an incredibly quality person who has created quality products. And I really want everyone to take a breath and set the attention today. Let go of what you might know or think you know or understand about the gut, about the health of our nervous system and how the gut and the nervous system relate. And allow yourself and us the opportunity to flow together today, to take our genuine connection that we truly have and bring our wisdoms together of what we've known to be true clinically in our own experience and with helping all the clients that we have, to allow you, the listener today, the engaged being that's vibrantly waiting for that next clue in your journey of wellness, to allow this information to facilitate you at every level to help you level up and raise your frequency and become a more and better version of yourself. Because there's nothing to fix about you. You are perfect in all your designs. You may just be dealing with symptoms in this 3D body as you're evolving into this remembering of your divine self being housed in this physical body. And there's nobody better, very few, I would say, better than Stephen Wright to educate you about why his product line can help facilitate the orthomolecular side of the 3D version of us evolving into this higher form of this spiritual being that has this physical body that we get to live in and house, and how can we best take care of it. So welcome, Stephen.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So Stephen has created a company called Healthy Gut. It's a product line. And could you just tell everybody in the audience a little bit about, so Steve and I met, of course, Dr. Christine Schaffner is always involved as she is. She introduces me to everybody. And we met about a year and a half ago now, I want to say, in Arizona. And she kept talking about you and your product line. And we met at one place and then ended up at another. I don't remember exactly how that happened, but Mindshare maybe. And then you came to BRMI. Yeah, that's how it happened. And you gave me a couple samples. I was on the road, and I love the Holozyme. And I don't really love orthomolecular products. I don't find a lot of them work. I love digestive enzymes because they work great for your lymphatic system away from food. And when you're traveling, it's always great to facilitate. And I was like, whoa, Christine, these products really work. And she was like, well, yeah, of course, everybody. Christine didn't say it like that, but she's like, yeah, Stephen's the real deal. And then he came to the Bioregulatory Medicine Institute where I was speaking, and we got to know each other a little bit better. And it was, I've just really enjoyed getting to know the quality of the person and the product line that you have made your mission. So I'm looking forward to everybody getting to know you a little bit better.
Yeah, well, it's been a pleasure getting to know you as well. And thank you for the kind words. If you had to boil down what I love doing, I love inventing like awesome stuff. I never really thought of myself as an inventor until very recently, but yeah, I just enjoy making something better than anything else has ever been made.
And did you always start off like, oh, I want to create a product line in my life?
I think no. I mean, I, you know, it's funny when you look back, you can see things so clearly, but at the time, things were not so clear. So I was actually born with a hydrocele hernia issue, and so my intestines and everything down there was a little jumbled up when I was born, and I almost didn't make it. I was a failure to thrive at 12 weeks. I only gained a pound. I was spitting up all the food. And so modern medicine saved my life at 12 weeks with an anti-spasmodic drug. But I also was dealt a hand in which I've been kind of behind. I've been playing with one hand behind my back in my gut for my whole life. And so, you know, the story of all the risk factors that I have from, you know, taking 3.5 years of Bactrim DS because a dermatologist said that that's what I needed for my acne, and then waking up in a hospital and all they could find in my gut was Bifidobacter, to going through electrical engineering college, taking 20 credit hours for 5 years, and just doing beer and pizza, you know, to get through that. So like the risk factors that I had to create a really messed up gut and nervous system were started from birth, and I didn't really have a choice in that. And I cultivated that, even though I didn't make a ton of crazy mistakes, it just kind of culminated to that. After college, I was overweight. I was having my first panic attacks. I was having major depressive episodes. And this whole time I was having alternating constipation, diarrhea. And I just thought that was normal. I thought being gassy all the time.
So you thought diarrhea and constipation was just normal. Like you were dealing with that. And then what?
I had so much family history of IBS that my family nicknamed me the gas man. It was just normal in our entire extended family, not just my immediate family, my entire extended family. Wow. Nicknamed me this. And so IBS was everywhere. And I thought it was totally normal. I thought bloating on a regular basis, I thought farting all the time was normal. I thought being embarrassed and ashamed at times was just, that's how you did life. When I was in college, I joined a fraternity, and that's when I learned, wow, there's a whole bunch of people. In fact, 95 or 98% of people don't live like I live and have all these weird routines to deal with this stuff. And that was my first sort of awakening that, hey, something else is available. But it wasn't until 2 years after college, I was in Chicago. I was working in a high rise. And when you're in a high rise, they only usually have like one bathroom per floor. And so if the bathroom's occupied and you have IBS, or if you have a bunch of farting issues, and that farting is like, I was having visceral hypersensitivity, which feels like knives in your gut. It's a subset of IBS folks. And you just have to fart. Like there's literally no way to get rid of the pain. Well, my coworkers got upset, as they should have, and reported me to the boss. And the boss called me in on a Friday afternoon and was like, "You're the smelly guy. You got to get this handled if you want to work here." And so that was, you know, kind of my, I got two by fours to the face. You know, I got different wake up calls from the universe. I chose not to take them. And this was kind of like the big embarrassing moment to wake me up and, you know, send me into the doctor's offices. And so I went and saw several Western physicians in Chicago. They were like, "You don't have celiac disease. You could have all the antibiotics you want. You need to take Metamucil and eat all the whole grains you can." And so I already knew that whole grains didn't work for me. And I already knew that Metamucil didn't help. And so I just thought, well, I just have to suck this up. And, you know, I would miss dates. I'd be on the toilet all night. I just have to like do life. And so luckily I had a fraternity brother who was like, "Look, there's this diet I tried. He was celiac and gluten-free didn't work for him." So one cool, interesting little marker on the timeline, I was like, this guy was like militant about being gluten-free and he was still having diarrhea. He couldn't get help. And so he went on a specific carbohydrate diet, which is a, you know, a restrictive diet. Not many people use it anymore, but it's a version of like paleo autoimmune or something like that in a way. I tried it and within 7 days, 50% of my bloating pain was gone. And this was just a monumental day or moment for me in my life, because now I've been embarrassed, I've been ashamed, now I'm angry, and now I have empowerment. And so all of that kind of like dark energy and negative energy in some ways, I was able to begin to channel into, holy cow, I have a lot more power here than I thought. And I was handing all my power away to these doctors who said, "We can't help you, you're normal. And, you know, F them, I can do something about this. And maybe they don't know what I think they know. Maybe there's a lot more out there." And so I kind of fell back on my schooling, which is like, just find somebody like you who solved the problem you have, reverse engineer it. And so that launched me on this new path in life, starting this company back in 2009, and just trying to share a message. Like, if I found something that worked, I ran it through an engineering lens of like, okay, if it works on me, that's a good data point, but not all that important. We need to go check the scientific literature. How would it make sense in light of what we know from science? How would that make sense in light of other clinicians that I can have access to, other people like me who have that? And if some of those data points started stacking up, I would write about it. I would blog about it. I would make an info product about it. And then throughout the years, we opened a clinic for a little while after the Kalish Functional Medicine Institute. And this is where my eyes were blown wide open. Because I had some awakenings, but I did not realize that you could give 20 people the same type of curcumin and not get the same results. In fact, you could take a supplement company's research and they could be promoting this new brand of curcumin, this liposomal curcumin that was like the best in the world. And you could switch from this boring basic curcumin that you were getting results with. You could go to the new stuff and get absolutely failure results in clinic. And because we were like doing it in like 20 chunks of people, we got to see the results of like this glutathione versus this glutathione versus this glutathione, this curcumin versus this, this enzyme versus this. And it became very apparent to me two things. One is that the quality of the product is really, really, really important. Like, and it's not the marketing that matters. It's something deeper. And then the dosing of that product deeply matters as well. Because you can get the specific raw ingredient, you can get the specific pill, but there's a bell curve. There's a mathematical curvature that suggests at least 34% of people will need way more or way less of a certain product. And if you miss that window, all of those beautiful benefits that are supposed to happen with curcumin or digestive enzymes or whatever it might be, that person will just be like mad at you. They will not get the results that they want, and everyone's confused. And so that's where I really learned those two really important things that have kind of shaped the rest of my career.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much. That was such a great way to... You're a beautiful storyteller, and it was beautiful to see how you turn the dark in the light. Thank you for that little window. But also, what you're saying is really dose makes the poison, and sequencing and quality, which is something we always talk about as well, because frequency, vibration, medicine, right? It's all about the quality. You can have three red lights, right? And they don't all emit the same frequency of light, even though they're within the spectrum of red, but it's the quality of that light. It's the quality of the connection. It's the quality of how the fibers are laid as an electrical engineer to make sure the dirty electricity is all catenized and that it's not going to be expressed in a negative way and create net like dirty electricity essentially out there. For instance, but with product, looking at the quality of product is monumental. The sequence, and what we say is if you get a response from our product, like when we started first playing with your product, I know, you know, we had some back and forth and you were like, oh, that's way too much, or nope, that's not enough. You need to give it more. And it was like, oh, okay. So even though we muscle tested and all that, sometimes muscle testing isn't perfect for everybody. And it's that day, and you got to customize as you work with this product. For me, if a product gets a response, then I know I have the right product, but I don't have the right dose. If the response is intolerable, then we've got to titrate, we've got to work with it, we've got to tweak it, or it's at the wrong timing because there's a pathway above it that's stuck that's causing this symptom. That if you get a response with a bioregulatory product, with a natural product, not with a forceful product, not with a pharmaceutical product or a herbal, to be honest with you, that will force the body, but with orthomoleculars and homeopathics and drainage that allow the body, there's never, if you're getting a response and it's the right thing, it's just there's something stuck that's not having the right tolerable, appropriate response. Would you agree with that, Stephen?
Yeah, I think sequencing and making sense of the responses is a critical and completely misunderstood idea when it comes to using all types of products. We are meaning-making machines. We make a lot of meaning, and sometimes the meanings we make initially, we don't question them again, and they're absolutely not helpful or wrong. And when you're introducing powerful products, whether it be a red light, a bioregulatory, a homeopathic, or a stronger option, interpreting those responses yourself can lead you down really, really bad, long, multi-year pathways that, you know, you could have shortened had you worked with somebody like yourself who sees 20, 30, 40, 50 people on the same journey and can tell you, look, no, this is okay. You know, what you had is sounds like it was annoying or a painful experience, but that's okay. We'll just cut the dose in half. You just need to rest for a week or two as we rebuild you. The product in which you've tried is not necessarily toxic in any way. It's not necessarily, there's nothing to suggest bad things are happening to you, but I understand that you're having an issue. And if you don't have someone to be that steady guide for you and you're not used to doing that for yourself, I've seen people waste 5-10 years and then come back around to me about the gut, you know, because this has been about 15 years now that I've been in this space, in the gut space. And they're like, you know, okay, let's talk about stomach acid. I was wrong. I thought acid reflux or heartburn was, you know, high acid, too much acid. And, you know, and so, yeah, having someone who's experienced like yourself to help you through those titrations, I think is invaluable.
I think that's a great point because, like, we were just saying before we recorded, like, I broke my elbow and my shoulder, right? And I've helped a lot of clients with broken joints and different things through. But you can't be your own practitioner. You're a fool. Just like I had a client the other day say, she's a lawyer, and she's like, and I know I'm dealing with this lawsuit that I had to hire a lawyer because if I hire myself, I'm a fool as a client. No different than us, right? It's hard to see the forest from the trees. Through this, while I did a lot of my self-care, I had to reach out to community. I had to reach out to my colleagues and go, am I screwed up here? Am I pushing the envelope? Am I doing something dumb? Not that I need anybody's outside validation necessarily, but also like force from the trees. Am I being dumb because I'm so emotionally attached to what's going on? And I love what you said. We're meaning-making machines. So we always are looking for meaning out of, well, oh, this happened because of this, and this happened because of this. And this da, da, da. Oh, and I know that, oh, if I have acid burning, then I have too much acid, right? Which is a fallacy that we now know, and we know how to address that. But that's a great example, by the way. It's a very good example. No wonder you're called the healthy gut guy. So because people misinterpret what's happening because they have one data point, which is them, to look through, and you are a systems, as an electrical engineer, you're a systems guy. I'm a systems girl as a biological therapist, and looking at, we all have patterns and we have cycles, and we're looking for cycles to break out of the pattern so we have better rhythms in the body. And if we are disrupting that rhythm, we may get a symptom, but it's interpreting what that symptom is. We talked about heart rate variability. There's no good or bad anything. It's interpreting what that means when it happens and having enough data points to have enough perspective to understand and interpret properly for that individualized person what this probably means. And then working with that person to say, okay, now go and try that because you're your unique science experiment and I have all this clinical experience that's guessing, that's lending me, or muscle testing or quantitative assessments, it's lending me this, but it will, I love what you talk about, but this curcumin, while it's the greatest thing that he's ever created, might behave a little differently in your terrain, in your system, than it does in Kelly's system, because Kelly has these 7 other variables that you don't have that we aren't even aware of.
I mean, what you just said there is why, if your practitioner is not talking about systems of systems and really taking a whole life approach, look at what's happening for you, you should just walk away. Just fire them and go find someone else. Because the thing that I find frustrating is that clinicians as well as patients, they make so many assumptions and they're unwilling to look at the assumptions they're making. So they assume.
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
So, the heartburn thing is an assumption, right? Like, or here's a really common one for women that I've heard in my career, which is like, you know, I really love the idea of a ribeye or a filet mignon, a piece of steak, but whenever I eat it, it just sits like a brick and it just doesn't digest. And so therefore I don't do red meat. Red meat doesn't work for me. And I'm like, okay, there was an assumption that was made here that's really, really critical to the whole story, which is, does your body have the capacity to break down the red meat? And if we look across the timeline of humans, have we been doing this long enough, and do most people have that capacity? Most people do. And we've been doing it long enough to say we have that ability. You've made an assumption that because when you eat it, you experience pain or frustration, that somehow you're different. And that I'm different idea is really pervasive in Western culture. And it's true at parts. It's like a snowflake. Every snowflake's unique, but every snowflake is made of snow. It melts the same, has the same temperature regulation. And so we are more similar than we are different, but we get really hung up on the differences and forget to challenge the assumptions around how we're the same. And so, yeah, there's just a lot of assumptions.
Challenge the assumptions around how we're the same. Okay, so in this example of what you're saying about, oh, I eat red meat, it makes me feel like I ate a brick, so I stop eating red meat. It instantly makes me think of this comedian I heard yesterday. She was so funny, and she was talking, she was like Asian of some sort, and she was just talking about the white people and how she thinks that we're not evolving very fast because every day there's a new food the white people can't eat. It's gluten, it's dairy, it's this. And I was dying listening to this. I was like, she's so right. It's like, why is everybody so afraid of food all of a sudden? Like, we've been eating red meat. And listen, I'm a reluctant carnivore. I don't really love the taste of meat. I don't love the texture of meat. But I eat meat because it's good for my body. But I didn't for 10 years. I was a vegetarian for 10 years because not ethics or I didn't like it. But I was not healthy. My heart rate variability, my live blood, my CRT was like not so great. And all of a sudden when I started eating high quality, dense meat and cooked it in a way that I liked and actually started to enjoy it, oh my gosh, the liveliness that I get from it. And I still call myself a reluctant carnivore from that perspective. And Ian says all the time, we just stop putting garlic and salt and everything, every spice you could possibly put on that meat and onions and everything else. So you stop tasting the meat. No, if you want me to eat the meat, I need it to taste like onions and garlic and spices. Oh my. But point being that I remember when I hadn't eaten meat and I ate meat for the first time, it did feel like a brick. But it was because I didn't have the digestive enzymes that I hadn't developed because I hadn't exposed my body to that. I hadn't eaten any real raw dairy or anything like that to help give my body that. So I had an acupuncturist on the trip the first time I had it. She did that. She gave me digestive enzymes. Within 5 days of eating meat every day for 5 days, and I hadn't had meat cross my lips in 10 years, I was digesting and pooping, no problem. And have never really, ready guys? I don't take probiotics. And I'm 50 and I poop every day at least twice.
Well done.
Right? And if not, then I take something. But I'm curious about your perspective on probiotics, because that's one of the assumptions that I would like to dismiss is you need probiotics forever and forever for the rest of your life. Do you feel that? And maybe I'm off. Stephen, I'm willing to be off.
So again, this is how I think differently. So we have now consumed every month that goes by right now, we are consuming more probiotics in capsules and powders and pills than we ever have in the history of humans that we have recorded of humans. But we have just as many, if not more, health complaints, especially gut complaints and or, you know, nervous system complaints than we ever have. So probiotic consumption has done a vertical spike, but health conditions have just kept right on with it. So if probiotics was the answer to our gut issues or to our nervous system issues, those curves would have been different. We'd be doing something different. And so no, probiotics have not lived up to their hype, especially the product design. Part of its product design is not that probiotics don't have certain probiotics at certain dosages are very powerful in the right individual. But there's a few variables there. One is product design. These products out there that have 10 billion, 100 billion, 4 trillion, and they have 10 strains, 15 strains, that is old thinking that's old. It's been thoroughly debunked that those products do not usually help. In fact, sometimes they hurt. And at most of the time, you're just wasting money by taking them. If you want to improve your gut and you want a probiotic type experience, the best thing to be doing is eating truly fermented foods, sauerkraut, kimchi, you know, whatever, even kombucha, actually.
Pickled eggs, different. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is the most surefire way. Now, I'm not saying that all probiotics are not helpful. In fact, if someone's listening and you're like, I love this probiotic, it changed my poops, it changed my whatever. That's possible and 100% backed up by the scientific literature on these books. But what I said is the absolute critical truth is that you have to have the right strain at the right dosage for the right outcome you want. And that matching all those variables up in the current landscape of all the supplements in the world is extremely hard and almost impossible in many instances, because the creation of these products is highly expensive to get the actual studied dosages. This is a trick that a lot of supplement companies play on us, is that the study will use, say, 1,000 milligrams. And the first ones will use like 1,000 milligrams, will have this great response to something. And then they'll start running lower and lower trials, 500 milligrams, 200 milligrams, and they'll still see a little response. And so they'll tell the supplement companies, hey, you can use 200 milligrams and you can claim it does similar things to the 1,000 milligrams. Or the supplement company will read the study and say, hell, look, this curcumin, 1,000 milligrams a day, did really well for knee pain. I'm going to make a product for knee pain, but they're only put 300 milligrams in each capsule. And you as a consumer, if you had not read these studies, if you had not gone to the depths of PubMed,
of the details of the dosage
in the study, like you have to dive into the actual materials and the source of the materials in the study to even know if it's going to work for you. And so there's all these tricks being played, whether raw ingredient manufacturers try to slowly reduce the cost of a product to get market adoption, but it doesn't actually improve clinical outcomes. In fact, it makes it significantly worse. This is true with citricoline for brain health. The real studies were at 1,000 milligrams a day, but everybody else is out selling 250 milligram capsules because it's cheaper. The same thing's true with curcumin. Most of the really amazing curcumin studies are at 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams a day. Most of the pills you buy are 150 to 300 milligrams. And so the same thing's true with probiotics. And it's even more complex because you can't just say Lactobacillus acidophilus. You have to say Lactobacillus acidophilus L92 or whatever that specific thing is. And then you got to make sure that that strain is at the proper dosage. And so, you know, at some point, Healthy Gut will start introducing probiotics. And by probiotics, I mean live bugs. But we haven't yet because it just costs a lot of money to make a really awesome product. And I'm waiting for the right moment for the public to wake up and be like, wow, you know, I have been taking this product for 2 years and I still have food sensitivities and I still have constipation and I still have bloating. Maybe that idea, that cool capsule, the capsule inside the capsule, or the everything's alive, like the idea that all probiotics need to be alive, is absolutely not true. That is 100% marketing. It's not true at all. Some bugs do better live, some bugs do better dead. Sporebiotics are great. But again, the idea that spores are the only way to go because they survive the acid is like you're throwing away 98% of all research ever done on probiotics, most of which was beneficial at the right dosages. It's just marketing.
And for me, I was informed years ago about fermented products. And so we bring in a product from Germany, from Switzerland, called Regulat, which is a 7-year cascade fermentation. 7 years.
Wow.
Cascade fermentation. And it's like walnuts and onions and dates and, you know, like 12, 15 foods, and it creates micronutrients. And so, and it's liquid. And so it's totally bioavailable, totally absorbable. It changes live blood free, you know, and it's literally been in my refrigerator, not the same bottle, obviously, but we've had it in our refrigerator. And anytime I have any digestive anything, I'm just, take a little shot of Regulat. And that it's the first thing that crossed my son's lips outside of breast milk was Regulat, because it was like, it's a fermentation product. It's good. I'm not going to cascade ferment anything for 7 years. And I absolutely cannot stand vinegar products. It's just not my palate. I don't like fermented food. So it's the way that I dose it, right? So, but for me, it's like, get it from food, create the probiotics from putting your feet in dirt, like get dirty, and allow your body to absorb. And then as you correct your nutrition, you should keep up with the gut flora to make sure that you got good balance because you got good variety and you're not eating the same foods over and over and it's high quality. But let's delve into quality. So when you're sourcing your products, when you're creating your enzymes, when you're creating all your different product lines, what are you looking for when you're sourcing this? Because I think this is something that not a lot of end user consumers look at. Because as you said, marketing often wins. Like, God bless some of my family members, but they, oh, I saw it on TV, so it must be good for me. What are you talking about? I would never buy a health product on TV. So marketing, facts tell, stories sell, but really when you're a practitioner, when you're a clinician, really as you are, who's decided to go into manufacturing, you're looking at the quality. I know Dr. Schaffner, who also is creating her own product line, she always looks at the quality. People go, oh, wow, that's expensive. And I'm like, well, I don't know. It's not really that expensive because of the quality of what you're getting. It's going to be that much more impactful. But what are you looking for and what do you want the end user consumer to consider, as well as practitioners to consider when they're evaluating product lines?
Yeah, I mean, I start my research process on anything with a twofold deep dive. One is in the research journals, like all of PubMed from around the world, not just you know, US data, but data from other countries and other languages. And then I look at the top products in the marketplace and I look at what are their dosages and what are their formulations. And so what I'm trying to find from the marketplace initially, if I'm, you know, there's only been a few products. Holoimmune's the only product that's really like brand new, no one's ever done before. A lot of the other products are just, hey, why is this product kind of suck? Can we make it like two or three times better? Because it should. Because like if you look at the anatomy, if you look at biology books, if you look at everything, and you look at the research journals, like digestive enzymes should be like a go-to option for anybody with any sort of gut-related complaint or even chronic health complaint, frankly. Like it just makes so much sense. In fact, it makes so much sense that even Western providers all the way through the most Eastern providers agree that digestive enzymes are a good idea. It's one of the most universal ideas. But if you go look at the reviews out there on all the enzymes, they're very weak. Very hit or miss, very weak. And so I wanted to try to figure that out. Like, okay, I looked at all that. I thought like, all right, so Digest Gold has really good reviews. You know, the AT Pro, the super expensive line. Other ones like Thorne Dipan 9 have really good reviews. There's some US enzyme products that have some really good reviews. I thought, okay, well, what if I just take all of those products and I combine them all together and go get a quote on that? So that's how I started it. And I took it to like several enzyme manufacturers, and their scientific people were like, I don't know if you'd want to do that. Like that could be so powerful. It could harm someone. Also, we're going to quote this to you at $30 a bottle, just manufacturing costs, not any other costs. And I was like, well, this can't be the solution. And so I just can't stop like digging. I got to go know why. Like, why is this the case? So then it becomes looking at those assumptions. What are we assuming is true here? I thought it was just potency. No, it's not potency. Let's look at the quality of the actual raws. What's the difference? We have, fermented or fungal types. We have animal-derived extracts. You know, what are the differences there? And so digging down into those, and what you get to is sometimes you get to actual breakthroughs. Like with our Holozyme, what we found was a scientist in Utah who had a patent on adding minerals in to oversaturate the cofactors and make the enzymes work no matter what, like way better than they normally work. And so it was a cofactor deficiency that he figured out and that we were able to license and then supercharge in that instance. And so that was, but he had already done some of the research on like, we're only going to get enzymes from, because he bought enzymes from China, Japan, and India. And then enzymes are super duper confusing. Like, literally, I've been in this industry for like 5 years now, and sometimes I still even get a little wound up in my head. But enzymes are rated based on their capacity to do their jobs. All other botanicals, almost every other supplement in the world is weighted on volume, like just mass. So 100 milligrams, 100 milligrams. That doesn't, enzymes are not. They're weighted, or they're classified as their ability to degrade like a whole tablespoon of olive oil for a fat enzyme like lipase. Well, what he did was he bought enzymes from around the world and ran them through a third-party lab. And what he found is that the classifications, if it said it could do, you know, a tablespoon of olive oil, there were differences. There was 20% here, 15% there. And so you have to do your due diligence on what the actual manufacturer is telling you, because they do the tests differently around the world. And if you're going to try to build, in my opinion, this is, I guess, a core belief I have. When I sucked at cooking, when I had to learn how to cook my own foods, some chef told this, I don't know if it's Jamie Oliver or something, like a chef from that was famous, like not currently famous, but like a little bit ago famous, was like, if you just start with the freshest ingredients, it's really hard to screw up a meal. Like it actually is. Like, and so I actually think about that when I think of creating a supplement now. Like, if I start with the highest quality of every single ingredient I can find and double check, it actually almost guarantees the product works. Because I don't know exactly how I fixed it, but by maximizing every single variable, I give myself a chance of making an amazing product. Just like, it's so much easier if you get fresh garlic and fresh steak and fresh onions. And even if you don't know how to properly, you know, grill the steak or whatever, it still tastes pretty dang good.
Right. No, that's very true. It's nothing worse than salad sitting out for a day versus freshly cut from, you know, grab it from the garden and eat a green bean. It tastes totally different than the green bean that you picked yesterday that sat out versus the green bean that was grown in California, frozen, driven across the country to Pennsylvania, and then sat in the grocery store for 3 days. And then I pick up the green bean. I'm like, why does this not taste the same as the one I picked off the vine? That's why. Because the quality changes with time on vegetables. But with enzymes, that's a great point to really look at the research and understand. So that's what you're looking for. And then when you looked at creating your different product, I mean, I know you were looking to fulfill needs out there, right, for folks. But what was the biggest need you saw given the landscape of the product lines that are subpar? Given the landscape of what might look be subpar in efficacy and in effectiveness, what was the biggest hole you saw? We both know it's obviously not probiotics. We both are firm believers that you don't need to seed your garden every day. But enzymes, I would agree, as a lymphatic therapist, fascia therapist, like, enzymes away from food are fabulous to break up the proteolytic excess inflammation in the body, right?
Yep.
But what is the hole? Like, that's what I would say as a lymph therapist. Everybody needs to be on digestive enzymes away from food. What's the hole that you saw that you are filling for folks? The first one.
HCL Guard was our first product, but Holozymes was our first big, I think. HCL Guard is the innovation there was combining a motility support and mucosal support in with a traditional HCL product, and then including intrinsic factor, which is just, we know from anatomy, but no one ever did it. So I made a better HCL, but I can't say that it's like 1,000% better or 100% better than someone else's HCL. I think maybe it's 50% better than the majority of the products out there. But Holozymes, the enzyme marketplace, was a place that no one was focused on. Everyone was focused on prebiotics and probiotics and killing. Lots of killing brands on binding. You know, so you had a lot of binding and killing people. And then we have a lot of probiotic and prebiotic people. And so I didn't necessarily think that as a startup company that we could really play in those spaces yet, because there was so much money and competition there. So I wanted to look at what are the things that I needed personally, because part of this coincided with my now wife being diagnosed with breast cancer and my other business sort of blowing up and needing to be pivoted. So at all the same, like 6 months, there was cancer diagnosis, business blowing up, having my first home loan, all these things. And sure enough, what came back? All of my bloating. Not all of it, but enough that I was very annoyed. And so then I went back to my supplement cabinet, which is more like a pharmacy, and I filled out the things that had worked, and I started taking them again. And then I just get really angry. I get angry at stupid product design. I'm like, this makes so much sense. Why does it not work the way it should? And so I think Holozymes was kind of that first thing that I was solving for myself, but also for the greater world around how can we make a product that works for like 50, 60, 70% of people on the regular? Because in engineering worlds, like if you're making a bridge or a car, you don't get to allow 10% of the car wheels to fly off. Like, that's not okay. In medicine, if you get 30 to 35% response from a supplement or from medicine, they're like, you did great. Well done. We can approve this. That's a terrible response rate when placebo is 30. And so I just think that when we're building products, part of what I'm trying to do is plug a hole where there's a bunch of people who are having negative experiences. They are not seeing the actual results from what's been promised to them. And how can we do that? How can we limit the negative ingredients, and how can we soup up the positive ingredients in order to get the outcome that they really wanted?
So, and just, I'm pulling up the ingredients just so everybody can listen to this for a second with Holozyme. So it's a combination of protease, amylase, lipase, cellulase, sucrase,
it was a little bit of a breakup. Was it alpha galactidase?
Alpha galactosidase. I've never been great at saying that one. Lactase. So it's basically all enzyme.
It's not.
That's galactidase. Don't look at it. I can actually say it better than if I look at it. The T and the D. Tosidase. Okay. So, but they're enzymes, and it's the combination of enzymes that you were like, okay, all of these, when I look at the literature, all of these should have these physiological mechanisms that they're employing in the body, because the body, the digestion is highly dependent upon enzymatic activity. And when I look at the literature and the research, this all makes sense, that this is physiologically facilitating when you have these enzymatic activity, that it's going to facilitate this mechanism in the body and allow the body to have healthy gut. And you were frustrated, angry, love it, with going, I have all this shit in front of me and it all says, and the research says, but it's not doing what it says it should be doing. So I'm going to go find the product quality and combo and then dose it appropriately to get the best result. And across the board, Holozyme, which is the product I fell in love with first, is the one that you would say is the home run hitter for most people, that 50% of the people are lacking a lot of this enzymatic activity and can benefit from taking this. That's what I want people to understand when they're looking at supplements. Because when I look at, when people come to me, they've been to 10 to 15 doctors and practitioners. And then they come to us and they're like, oh, I'm taking all these protocols. Most of the protocols are pills, and they tell me they have leaky gut and their gut doesn't work. And I'm like, well, this doesn't make any sense. And they're not pills that are necessarily moving forward. It's a lot of probiotics. It's a lot of lesser quality products that I've had experience with that get subpar results. And then I'm up against going, well, I want you to buy more products and invest in money, you know, into these product lines that work. And they're like, well, I already have a digestive enzyme, and so can I just use that? And it's funny because Digest Gold was just on one yesterday. I was like, well, that's one I actually am okay with. Out of all the things that you gave me a list of, Digest Gold, take it away from food and let's see what happens. So, but I'm just curious from your perspective on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating. Like, I have a supplement graveyard too. I have a that's what I call it. It's the place where the supplements you bought for some intended outcome, they go to die because they didn't do it. They made you feel worse, or you find out that later on it's a watered down product. It's not based in any research, things like that. And so I don't I don't love it either from that perspective. I think the frustrating thing is that it does cost a lot of money to put together a real product, to put together an efficacious product that you can, with a high degree of certainty, say, if I get 100 people who are complaining of this issue, I give this to them, 70, 80, maybe 90% of them are going to have success. We just have to titrate the dosage. That's the only variable. The only variable is titration. To build a product like that costs a lot of money and a lot of time, and we can't compete with the $15 and $20 products out there, which are just watered down stuff that people, when they do feel effect, it's usually placebo. And nothing wrong with placebo. Nothing wrong with placebo. Placebo is a real effect. It's okay to have placebo. But a lot of products between, you know, especially if you look at the marketplace and most of the rest of the products are more, if they're under $25, it's usually a lot of placebo. It's watered down. And that's just frustrating because people want to be helping themselves. Otherwise, they wouldn't be spending even the $25. And they are probably being sold something that has a really small chance of getting the actual job done. Or like you said, between different practitioners and their own online research, they've cobbled together a really intense protocol that if you were to step back without assumptions and look at the protocol, you'd be like, there's a lot of wasted money here. And I don't know that this is right for this phase. So it's not that like CoQ10 or ubiquinol or something, ubiquinol is the better version of CoQ10. It's not that that's a bad thing. It's actually awesome. The research on it for anti-aging, for ATP production, things like this, super, super awesome. But like, is that really what you should be focused on? Like if you only have $40 to spend right now, probably not. And probably getting every nutrient from the food that you're also spending a lot of money on might be more important. Or if you had like some sort of mold issue, probably, you know, getting some sort of binder or some sort of like glutathione or something might be more important than digestive enzymes. I don't know. You'd have to work with your provider, but it's better to have one amazing product at its job than like five mediocre products and dose that one product great because you'll actually heal that situation.
And based upon that, how as a company, you do a lot of clinical research. And all of your work is based upon evidence, right?
We're just starting our first actual clinical trials on our products, but I base it on other people's
research.
Okay. Yeah, other people's research.
And you're starting that research, I would presume, with Holozyme, since it's your flagship.
It's up in the air between Holozymes and Tributerdex right now. So
that's fair. So, as one of the last questions, and well, actually, two last questions. One is nervous system. You know, we talk a lot about the nervous system and the gut. For me, 50% of your lymph is made in your gut. The healthier your gut is, the better the lymph's going to work, all that. Your nervous system, you know, you're a feeler, you're a knower, and you're a thinker. We feel so much. It's a lot of the nervous system tissue. What have you seen in your years and how getting a healthy gut can actually support the nervous system and how getting a healthy nervous system can support the gut? And if you could just talk about that.
Yeah, we had talked earlier about being open, and we essentially were talking about being open to new ideas and new assumptions that you made. And so I had an amazing practitioner as well as a mentor back in the day, Chris Kresser, and I was his podcast host for almost 5 years, I think four-ish, a little over four. But I also did consults with him because I was struggling back in 2012 in those time frames. And at that point in time, I had already done the Kalish Institute. I was my own worst patient. Trying to, you know, figure it out on my own. I had access to literally all kinds of clinicians. I had access to every lab test, and I had at least enough money or enough dumb ideas to run up really big credit card bills on whatever I wanted when it came to that stuff. And I could not figure it out because I had handled my detox. I'd handled my hormones. I'd handled my gut infections. And I remember this one call. He goes, you know, Stephen, there's a lot of research coming out. This is 2012. And, you know, there's a lot of research coming out that stress and spirituality really matter when it comes to the gut. And just based on your labs, like, they're not really that bad. I just think that maybe you should try meditation. Maybe you might want to meditate, and maybe you have a stress issue. And you could read some of these books. And he gave me some Pema Chodron and a few other ideas. And I was so freaking mad. I was like, I just spent like $500 for you to tell me I'm stressed. I was so mad at him. And it took me until like 2016 when I had literally now tapped out the entire world of food and functional integrative medicine. I'm talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, everyone on speedball that I can talk to. I walked away from it because I couldn't figure it out. And I walked into emotional regulation, nervous system regulation, spirituality. And that was the missing part. He called it way back, you know, 3-4 years earlier, but I wasn't ready to challenge that assumption and hear it. I thought it had to be written in the scientific journals. I thought it had to be measurable and knowable. And that was the breakthrough for me that really, you know, I learned about childhood development. I learned the fact that because of the issues I was born with, I wasn't able to attune to my mother or my father. My nervous system is likely wired towards anxiety and things like that for forever, just because I didn't get a lot of the ability for skin to skin contact. And I just was upset because I had pain all day long, every day as an infant. And so duh, you look back and you connect the dots, you're like, well, dude, you would really benefit from a lot of nervous system rewiring. But I was not ready to hear that. And it's been through that journey that I've really married that those two sides of the equation to me. And I think it's absolutely critical. Like, that was the missing answer for me to stop having the visceral hypersensitivity that was like unknowable. Like, I have meticulous journals. I told you I have a pharmacy in my house. I do not have an issue around taking copious dosages that have never been studied before. Nor do I have an issue about ordering stuff from around the world and taking it before anybody else. I will try most everything. And that stuff didn't work. But what did work was, you know, somatic experiencing, ketamine and psilocybin journeys that were very guided with a very, very structured aftercare to help make sense of things. Other things that worked was not the basic neurofeedback systems, but the there's some low voltage neurofeedback systems that work on training the underlying current that's below the actual waves that you can measure. Things that are like deep, deep nervous system related safety mechanisms to the world. And so these things started stacking breakthroughs for me such that my gut has never been more resilient than it is now. And it made the need for the products a lot less. And so I think you could start on either side. You can start with the nitty gritty of food and supplements, or you can start on the nervous system side. I think you just make sure you do both, you know?
I agree 1,000,000%. And I've said for years, like, I started coming at it from one direction, but you have to do both. You know, you need the orthomoleculars, you need the homeopathics, you need the physical body work, you need all that, but you also need to attend to the light and sound quantum physics part of us that's divine, that's bigger than this physical body, and all of the things in the middle, because it's the interaction. I call it the new AI, Stephen. It's aligned and integrated. So okay. That aligned and integrated and the divine being having a physical experience and knowing that, yeah, when you fall down and go boom, like, you've got to do things in the physical world, but you can upgrade them and be wise about how you do them. And I agree with you. The way I term it is, you were kind of a life timer and trying to clean up your gut, and then you became a lifestyler when you started to enhance your frequency and go, okay, my gut's more resilient than ever because I'm connected to my source energy. And I know if I eat really bad food or eat too much or something, I also have the capacity to change that. But I also don't need that as much because I'm in this flow state that allows me sometimes to eat chocolate cake and not suffer from it like I used to.
100%. And that's my goal for everybody. I think that's your goal for everybody. I think that's why we get along. It's like, I want you to have options. Like,
I want everybody to eat chocolate cake and enjoy it. That's exactly. Got it right. And it's exactly what I want, and to not feel guilty about it either, because I love freaking chocolate cake. No, but in all honesty, you're right. I think that is what we connected about. We don't want people to suffer. We want them to live a full life and be free and not live this restricted. I can only eat this. I can only do this. And I have to take these supplements to feel well. And that's not free. That's not living.
No, it's you're in a glass house. You're in a bubble. And I just think that's a fearful and a struggle place to live. There's times and places to fall back in the bubble, you know, find your solid ground and then expand out from there. That's, I think, part of the phases of healing. But yeah, I think both of our goals is like, look, if it's Christmas time and there's in like everyone's around the table and there's some gluten sugar cookies there and everyone's talking about them, and if, for you to eat that cookie and be in that energetic love vibe is actually probably better for your nervous system than the little bit of gluten and sugar that you're going to get from that one cookie. And that's the part that like flipped my brain and like just totally scrambles it in a blender. And I think it's still flipping and blenderizing a lot of people's brains, that the emotionality and the love and the frequency around a food and around a situation can completely change how our physical body reacts to it.
Changes the quality. And one of the reasons we do these podcasts and I dive deep into vendors, practitioners, clinicians, other people that are doing this is we want to vet for you and understand why your return on investment, which is a new thing that I'm really talking a lot about, is you invest in high quality and it returns for you. And my time of getting to know Steven, and it hasn't been fast, you know, I'm cautious about taking on new product lines because I want to know that it's going to provide, it's going to have the high quality, and it's also not a fly by night, that it's actually got some depth to it, that it wasn't, oh, I took a weekend course and I learned how to create digestive enzymes and I'm ready to go. Let's go. Let's go. And that's his heart, his passion is much more than about the money he's making and what hits the impact that he can make in the world. And that's what we're all about on the Flow Show. So thank you for the work you're doing and the beautiful work. But tell them how they can find you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll make a Kelly Kennedy coupon code and we'll get that going. You can go to healthygut.com. That's where the store is. That's where the site is. There's articles. There's other links to other shows I've done. So yeah, either healthygut.com healthygut guy on TikTok and other various social platforms like Instagram, things like that. But yeah, that's the number one place to follow us. And thank you for having me on the show, Kelly. It's been awesome. And you have taken, you've done your due diligence. And so I respect the heck out of that.
Thank you. And we wanted to give you all a different perspective on gut today because we know that there's so much of the same information over and over about gut. And we wanted to give you a different framework, as I always do on the Flow podcast, is give you a different framework to help you be a better critical thinker so you can advocate for yourself best and take that dark, turn into light and become empowered as Steven has. And that's what we're here for. So thank you for sharing your time with us today and sharing this if it resonates with you and you know somebody else it might resonate with. And thank you for all the work you're all doing to spread your light in the world and to find and spread your star seed. Remember who you are. We love you. Thank you. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Flow. If you took something from today's show, please make sure you subscribe and share it with a friend. I want you to step away empowered, enlightened, and having an increase in value and your vibration, knowing that your body has the innate ability to heal so that you can attain true wellness. Thank you, and we'll see you on the next episode of Flow.